Hey, Rabbi Sai, so we're here Sunday morning with the Zichron Shaggy Fagley Yeshiva program, and I'm going to present the Shaila to you that, and then I want to present the Shir. I wrote down for the first time that the Shir is a Shir Miyuchud, and we're not in going in the order of Shivmera. But what I want to mention is like this. A person is an employee. What is your obligation as far as payment from the employer to the employee? And I'll show you what I mean. Take a look at paragraph, paragraph 1. Margula bapume de Rabbeinu Tam. Now this is based off of a Rashi in Bab Metzi and Daf Kuf Yud Ches, which we'll see in a moment. But Rabbeinu Tam, I don't know why he says Margula bapume. It's interesting, Lashon. He says Margula bapume Rabbeinu Tam, the Gimel dinim yesh. There are three dinim when it comes to paying. Bebal choiv, yisle zuze, loimotzi misalikli. Somebody borrows money. Oh, somebody borrows money. And now the loive wants to pay back the mal. So the halacha is that if he has cash, the loive may not pay the malva with potatoes. But let's say the loive owes the money. He has no cash. He has potatoes. I'm making it simple. You're going to see where I'm headed. He has apples. He brought in a crop. He has bushels and bushels of apples. Does he have to sell them? Does he have to sell them for cash and pay the malva who did him a big toiva and loan him $100,000? Does he have to pay him with cash, or can he pay him with potatoes or apples? How lucky is he can pay him with potatoes or apples?
Not America.
Oh, now that's what I was leading to before. Is that a rule?
Potatoes aren't legal tender.
What?
Potatoes aren't legal tender.
Okay, good, but they have value. Okay, well, that's a very serious question. So what is a very serious question? That's a very serious question. So what? Reuven is the loiva. He owes Shimon the mal the money. Who says he has to pay him with legal tender? Yeah, I was just hoping, I don't know what Barry is. I'm assuming there's a law about it.
I have no doubt that if somebody wanted to pay them potatoes, we would tell them
to pay with stocks.
What?
Wants his money.
The
says, "I don't have anything."
So
he can go and take his assets.
That's right. He can take his assets, but if the
labor
has money,
it's a separate issue if he declines to pay you.
One second. But here's the shaila.
I don't have any cash.
He's talking to you. Okay, good. I'm asking. You owe me money. The guy says, "Yeah, I do." You're $100,000. Yeah, I do. You don't have any cash. You have assets, right? You go sell your assets. We're not talking about a case where a guy's denying payment. We need a tisa from Bezdin. The guy missed the payment. Let's make it smaller. $10,000. You got a car, go sell it. Give me $10,000. Here's the car, you sell it. Who wants to sell the car? That's the shaila. If there's cash, the loiva has to pay cash.
If I default on my mortgage, the bank is going to tell me to sell my house to pay back.
Well, the bank may not do that because they're afraid you may not do it.
They'll just take the house.
Because they're afraid you... Hello.
So if, I would do that too. If somebody's not going to pay me, I would also...
Right. If the bank had a choice and said, sell the house and give me cash, or we have to sell the house, what do you think the bank's going to want? The bank's going to say, you sell the house.
Look,
they're
going to have to wait for their money.
What?
If the client's in bankruptcy and then the court divides up their assets and we get our share. Whatever it happens to be, buildings or stocks or apples.
So what do you do then?
You got share.
You got to sell it. At a loss.
But that's because that's directed by the court.
That's because the maestro, the guy's not paying. Otherwise, the court... Okay, you're right. The court doesn't make the... Whatever the situation is, the loiva. The court doesn't make the loiva sell the assets. The court takes the assets. But that's when he's not paying.
So he doesn't have any money.
Good, but you have assets. Why should I sell your grandmother's sterling silver? Assets. You sell your grandmother's sterling silver. And bring me cash. Now, that's by a malva and a loiva. What about by nezek? Somebody smashed somebody's car.
You said it's the halacha, but what? If he only has his house, does he have to sell his house?
That's a different issue. We may make him sell his house and downgrade to an apartment. Yeah. Or downgrade to a smaller house. In a chalami. His house, there's a lien
so
on
all
it.
These people in the community borrowed money from me and not pay me back. I could bring them to the base and...
Avada. Why can't bring the best?
Never sell their house.
It could be. Maybe sell their car. Maybe sell their furniture. Sell their silverware. Sell their clothing. Whatever it is. Avo benizokin, Ruvain drives a car and smashes Shimon's car. And he admits, and everybody admits that there was $5,000 in damage. Okay? Avo benizokin, afilu ilesle, motzi lesluke, isles motzi lesluke b'mayde boy. The komili meitav luker, Papa Gravuda b'mayde b'shua. This halacha right now, I would say, for us with our American sensitivities, is an incredibly aggravating halacha. You know what the halacha says? Here's the halacha. And I asked this to Shmuel Birnbaum at the Chasana. Remember that I asked him this at the Chasana? I once asked him at the Chasana in New York. Here's the shayla, halacha l'maisa. Reuven is driving his car. He smashes Shimon. Smashes Shimon's car. It's his fault. Everybody admits it's his fault. He owes $10,000. He runs home and he says, I'm 29 years old. Since I've been 9 years old, I've been collecting soda cans, empty soda cans. Sorry, pop cans. And right now I have about 80,000 pop cans sitting in my garage. And now I can finally get rid of them. I just calculated 80,000 empty pop cans at a return of whatever it is, 2 cents a can. We'll add up to the $10,000 I owe you for the damage. He delivers all the pop cans to the front lawn of the mazik, of the nizik. Mr. Goldstein, you're looking at me like I am out of my mind. What's the halacha? Says Tysis. I don't know again why this is ma'agula, but pumer a bit of time. I will be nizokin afilu islay. Even if he has cash, he can be mesalakim with anything. It's called mili meitavu. Yes, Rosh Hashanah, what's the pshat? Nobody told me. Dosa Dalok. That's it. Finished. Gemara beginning of Bava Kama, that's the limud. I mean, this is like, you know, I gave shir on this recently, and a guy started screaming at me. I said, I understand you. I'm not telling you I don't feel for you. I'm not telling you that the guy should do it l'chadchila, but a guy can do it l'chadchila. So one is Malvin Leiva, if he has cash, he has to give cash. If he doesn't have cash, he can give potatoes. One is Nizik, with a Mazik. If the Mazik, even if he has cash, doesn't have to give cash. He can give potatoes or empty soda cans, whatever it might be. Okay?
What about if there's a cost? In the old days when you had to sell stock and there was commissions, so is it the value net of the...
Hey, buddy, it's not the old days. That's good. When you were younger, that's not the old days. Let's not call that the old days. A few years ago, maybe. All right. Well, in order to sell a stock, you had to go through a broker. And the broker took a commission on selling it also.
So are we talking about net value or gross value?
That's a very good question. It's a very good question.
If you got 10,000 cans, you're not going to walk to the corner store and get money for that.
Maybe you're going to have to hire a truck.
Yeah, well, I don't even know. Can you return empty soda cans and Juul? I don't even know if you can do that. Yeah. Huh?
I don't think so. Not for money. No.
What?
Fill up the recycling bin.
Move to the recycling center.
They pay you there?
Where they do require that you return the cans, they have machines to take the cans.
Right, they have machines. You got to stop loading.
In the States.
They never work. They're always full.
It's not going to hold 80,000.
Yeah.
You can't go to your local
store. You return the bottles, you get like 10 on your road,
right? Yeah. Well, a poil, and this is what the shir is about. What about a poil? Afilu lesle zuze. Even if the guy has no cash. Amale zil tarach ve'aisi zuze. Etama ba'ason liyas. Echaz a poil. Asim ba'metemen v'kash. The Mishnah says in Bab Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, next to the last blot, learned in the Daf Yomi a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, if you hire a poyel and he's working, gathering in straw, and you tell him, listen, I don't have no cash, keep the straw as payment, ain't shaymeloi. And even if the owner has no money, he has to sell his property, his produce, his chafetzim, his kalim, his crops, and get the money and then pay the poil. Poil is the highest level.
Of course, you can get around all this just by agreeing beforehand that you have to continue to avoid this.
Rabbi Goldstein, if we would agree and talk, as I say, we would avoid men speak who don't talk. Most of the Shulchan Aruch would not be here. The problem is that nobody spoke about it before.
It's not halacha that you have to do this. It's halacha if you don't specify otherwise that this is what it is.
That's correct. That's correct. Now here's the shaila. This shaila I had about 14 or 15 years ago. A woman is working in a house. She's a little bit of a nanny, has to do light housework. You know what that thing is called? I don't know what it's called in English. I think it's called, I don't even know what it's called in Hebrew. You know these becher fountains? You know those fountain thing, you put the wine in and you know, goes out all over the place, right? So she was cleaning it. And Clay said it cost $5,000, whatever it cost. Silver one, whatever, big one, two levels. And when she was cleaning it, polishing it, she broke it. Ended up being $400 in damage. $1,500 a month was her salary, and the boss said he cut her a check. She admitted she'll pay. And he cut her a check for $1,100. Is that mutter? Now again, I'm not talking about permission here.
He's got to pay Social Security tax on the $1,500.
Good. Good. Is it mutter to pay $1,100? So the Erech Shai, one of the Achronim on Shulchan Aruch, paragraph 2. Who?
Why would she be afraid?
Not she. He.
No, why would she be chayav for the 400?
She's a mazik. She broke it.
She was just cleaning it.
She knocked it off. She knocked it off the table by mistake. I don't mean the rag knocked it off. Well, he is daiti, says the Erech Shai. Kiv and the dina the mazik for gazel neshalim b'shel v'kesef afilu yesh lekesef. You don't have money. Comes to b'shem v'ches to v'yitzet. By shein kain poil. Chayiv lite mois dafka, and he brings a right from Rashi. The Rashi we just mentioned, Berakah Bais Aliyah. Dafkuf yichetz v'vishneshov. The Imam of Balavais lepoil. Tul mashas hisa b'scharecha in shemel. Yafal gadol chol duchti yisle. Shavik kesef kesef hocha gabi poil. Baltolin schoroiksev. This is Rashi's lashon. Baltolin schoroiksev. Ma da asti ba'adei mash. And kein dino de zeh goyve ve zeh goyve. Afil yehi ba'adei chayiv l'shalim. Masha ochal. And yochal akev schoroik yitzorach lepoil mois apol yiporal yishavik kesef. Says the Erech Shai, the poil is $400. The poil is a mazik. How does a mazik have to pay? Shavu kesef. The balbos owes the poil $1,500. How does the balbos have to pay? Kesef. So she can say to the owner, you can't take off $400 cash. You owe me $1,500 and it has to be in cash. You can't say, well, I owe you $400, therefore you're going to deduct. It's not true. I'll pay potatoes in the $400. I'll pay empty soda cans in the $400. I'll pay a few pieces of silver in the $400. Or I'll give you stocks as we said before in the $400. I'm not taking anything less than the $1,500 cash or check, whatever it is. That's what I want. So Derek Shai, she's right. She's right. Cash is king, poil is king. And the balabas has to pay the poil cash. Mizumon. Okay? Comes along the Mordechai. Now remember, the Mishnah says, "Ain shayman loy." The Balabas says, "I want to give you kash v'teven, the produce. No, cash. Comes along the Mordechai, and then the Mordechai is one of the Rishonim. Now the Mishnah says, "Ain shayman loy." If the Balabas says, "Take the straw," "Ain shayman loy," you don't have to listen. Look at this. Now this is a little bit strange. Paragraph 5 is the Mordechai. Wait a second. Before we read the Mordechai, let's take a look at paragraph 3 and 4. I just want you to understand what's going on here.
Where did all this come from, though? This is not your right to anything with cash.
Well, that's a very interesting point. Rashi learns from the Pasuk of Leisolin. Rashi learns this from the Pasuk of Leisolin. You're not allowed to delay payment on the... because it says you got to give Schorai. Schorai, Rashi says, means, the word Schar means cash. Now, it's not a Gemara. It's a kind of a limud from Rashi, which you're going to see in a moment if everybody agrees with that limud. Now, look what it says here. Shulchan Aruch, top left corner, paragraph 3. You can't tell him take the produce. You got to give him cash. Says the Shach, paragraph 4. What's that? Oh, you mean Shasta Pol, it's his shayla.
Yeah.
Right. If the Pol says, I'll do it, that's a different shayla. Right. Now, Sif Beis in the Shach, paragraph 4, fourth line down. Afilo ain't all about the bias, rock, sif, the balabas only has Tevin, Kash, Tzorachlit, 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 to paint themselves, with limkar, to sell, with Shtadloi, Boys, and Muzumanim. Came across of Tysus, Amban, Muki Yosef, Reishbek, and Machaz Abayas. I'm skipping through to the words that are underlined, B'Shem Ramein Utab, Kei Kosef HaRosh, Perikamen of Abakama, Kei Kosef HaItuk, Kei Kosef HaAlachumas, and the Ritva. Everybody seems to agree, you cannot tell the guy to keep the straw. Finished. Comes along the Mordechai, paragraph 5. Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says, by a pile, cash. Three lines to the bottom, middle of the line, Ulamayri Rabbeinu Meir Zal. And according to Rabbeinu Meir Zal, some Rami Rutenberg, who was a father of the Rosh, Nira Bechaloim. That is a Pella. Nira Bechaloim. What does that mean? Yeah, okay. It's a good Shiloh. Nira Bechaloim, he had a dream. No dreams. A few times in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Nisai Caleb, it mentions that Poiskim, Gedele Poiskim had dreams, and they passed him based on what they saw in their dreams. A Pella. Absolute Pella. But the okay, nira bechaloyim dafka b'tevin v'kash, only if the boss wants to give straw. Avo b'midi d'achila, but if the boss wants to give food, chita musayrim, wheat and barley. And he says, tul masha asisa, take the wheat and barley corresponding to the amount of money I owe you, shayim loy. Wheat and barley is okay. And he paskin based on his dream.
What if I can't eat barley? Good questions. Presumably he's saying it's okay because it's something you can eat.
I think presumably because they actually would want it.
Huh?
He might want maybe straw.
They actually wanted it.
As food.
They would have been happy
with chitim and tzoyer. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Suck the Benek and Bias, paragraph 6.
Yeah, we're not talking gluten free people back then. They like chitim and they like sorghum. So in this case, I think it's like we're really
running. Look at paragraph 6, please. Goss Maimony says the same thing as the Mordechai. I hope that's not a sick of the poor lots of the Mubba Tabin the Kashi Amalai, Mkluma Shay, Sisu Gora, Rechay, Shay, Amalai, Dapka Tabin the Kashi, Lamini, the Echo. Abo Bedova, Michael, going Tvua, Ukiye, Seba, Shay, Amalai, Akalashonim. Says the Beis Yosef in the Berek Abayas. Any of the Zuminayin, who told him this? Where did he get this from? The Mishnah says, ain't Shay, Amalai, and produce, which means cash, and you come along and say, but food is okay. Tevin and kasha straw, a person can't eat that. But the achita mesayim is okay. Who said that? Ve'ini yodeim in ayinloi. Ve'loi oi. Asha tesefta. There's a tesefta. Which is going to be a tiyufta. Look down below paragraph 9 at the bottom of the page. Sochroi lehevi tapuchim lechoyle. You hired a guy to deliver apples to a chayla because for the chayla the apples were going to be beneficial. For halach he went, the heavy and he brought, umatzo and he found, achmona l'san shemes, the chayla died. Oy shehivri, he got better. He doesn't need the apples. And he got a guy here, who's a shliach. He carried 6 crates of apples, 20 miles, to bring him to a chayla. And the chayla is not a chayla anymore, either because he's dead or because he was cured.
He's not eating 6 crates of apples.
Okay, one crate, whatever it is. He needs apples. No, this is not an issue. He brought apples. He brought apples for the chayla. And now the apples are no longer useful because either he died or because he was cured. Do you have to pay the guy? Do you have to pay the delivery guy?
Yeah.
But forget about it. Stamazai. Leave out the Shulchan Aruch. If you would be a Shulchan Aruch, would you have to pay the guy or not?
Yeah.
He did what he was supposed to do. The terrible Shiloh we brought up before, which is a terribly, 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 terribly sad Shiloh. If somebody prepares a Suda for a Bar Mitzvah, Matzoy Shabbos, and he has all the food ready to go Friday afternoon because he can't prepare on Shabbos, and the Bar Mitzvah boy died over Shabbos. Got to pay the caterer? Let's remove the emotions for the moment. You got to pay the caterer?
Yes.
Havada. You come to a bris, and the male comes in and says the baby's yellow. You got to pay the caterer about it. Maybe I didn't tell you with the male. Why didn't tell you? Didn't tell yesterday. Well, you got to pay the caterer cracked all the eggs and all the cream cheese is out of the containers and the lox is on the trays. It's finished. All the food's gone.
Okay, but you hired him, and you know that you're gonna have to pay him.
That's right. Over here, you also hired the person. Person because the oiler died. So it says, well, you got to give him his money. You got to give him money. You can't say you keep the apples. The apples have value, and maybe the value is the same as the amount of shipping. It doesn't make any difference. You can't say keep the apples. So what does the Mordechai do with this Tosefta? It's a Brisa. That's the Mukiyesus. That's the Bedekabiasus Kasha. Now, Mr. Goldstein, you asked a very interesting question before. I'd like you to look in paragraph 10 in the Divrei Mishpat, which is on the left side of the page. It's like Divrei Mishpat like this. I am Rashi Bab Metziyadav Kufsamach. The Kosa who writes, as we said, I've got the Shabbat Kesuk, Kesuk, Kobokam, Apoyal, Ksil, Solon, Sochre, Maida, Asni, Bahade, Mashma. Well, if he's there, Heicha, the Sholach, Shliach, Liska, Apoyal, Levi, Amar, Shliach, Sochre, Mabalabayas. Okay, hold on to this for 1 second. I'm going to come back to this in a second. We're going to, but look, skip 3 lines and see where it's underlined, then you'll see why I'm going to come back in a second. Ach Mashita Mikuber says Mubamitsiya Kosa Bishem Rajbo the Mischaroy Le Mashma Midi. No, it's not because of the Pasuk like Rashi says. It's a Svara. What's a Svara? The Tamu Leiniska Elo Tsarach Mzainis La Erev Shalo Yehe Tsarach Leirid Shuk Lagzor Bolivka. When I was a 6th grade boy, I was still living in the Lower East Side. We had a Rebbe Tzaddik, I just found out in New York last week that he's still alive, Baruch Hashem. His name is Rabbi Lenchitz. A tzaddik and a big Talmid Chacham. He once told us in class, I lived, if old people know Brooklyn, I lived at 1040 Eastern Parkway. Downstairs was the last stop of the IRT and the last stop of the Remsen Avenue bus. So in the morning, the workers came on the bus, got off the bus, went down to the subway to go to Manhattan. In the evening, the opposite. They came out of the train, came out of the subway, and took the Remsen Avenue bus. He said, tap one of the guys on the shoulder. Say to him, sir, I'd like to ask you a question. Yes, my young child. Please tell me, where are you going? Going to work. Why are you going to work? To make money. Why do you need money? To eat. Can't argue with that logic. Can't argue with that logic. So, Zokta Rajba, why is the poil going to work? Stay home. What are you doing this? Slipping around over here, cutting wheat or whatever you're doing, climbing trees, pruning trees, or digging ditches. What are you doing? Answer is, I need money. Why do I need money? To eat.
It's not just to eat.
That's true.
But my first guy, here's an apartment, go use it.
That's right. My first concern is food. If I don't get no food, a house ain't worth anything to me, a car isn't worth anything to me. I need food. So Dr. Ashba, the poil wants money because when he comes home, he's starving. You gotta get out of today's mindset. We get paid every 2 weeks, we get food in the freezer, food in the fridge, and food in Jewel. Guy came home, he needed something to eat. What did he do? What did a day worker do? That's what everybody knows, a day worker. What did they do at the end of the day? They took their money, and they came home, they went to the marketplace before it closed, and they bought some food to eat. I don't want wheat. I gotta come home and grind it. What am I going to eat? I want food. No, I want money. I want money so I can buy food so I can eat. I don't want to hack around with wheat. Not with wheat, not with barley. As I shake the Raj. There's no nafkamina here. The Rajbra says the Divrei Mishpat Prim wants to say a nafkamina. You walk into Mr. Cohen, okay? That way, not Alan. Not me, either one of us, or both. You walk in, and you walk into a nursing home, you speak to the administrator of the nursing home, hires you. Speaks salary, says, yeah, $80,000, whatever it is. Fine. Okay. How often do you pay? Twice a month on Friday. You walk in the first Friday, guy says, I'm sorry, we don't have any money, Monday we'll be able to pay you. Okay? Who's over the Yisra of Baltolan? Who's over the Yisra of Baltolan? So says the Rashbo. The answer is La Halacha. No, it's not the Rashbo. Says the Gemara. The answer is La Halacha. No one's over Baal Tolan. Interesting Halacha. Baal Tolan is only if the owner hires the worker. But if the administrator hires the worker, and the worker knows that the administrator is not the owner, and he doesn't even know who the owner is, there's no Baal Tolan. You gotta pay him. But you don't pay him on time, you're not over Yisra Baal Tolan. That's a limud from the Torah. Baal Tolan is only for the Baal Abbas. If he says, Schachem Alai, if he's not the Baal Abbas, no Yisra. Says the Divrei Mishpat. Here's an Afkamina. You hire a poil in a situation in which technically there's no Baal Tovim. So according to Rashi, you don't get to pay him cash either. Since there's no Baal Tovim, and the din of paying cash is learned from the pasuk of Baal Tovim, is you have to be with schara. You gotta give him the schar. Therefore, if you don't have the schar, you don't have a Baal Tovim. And Mamela, if you do have the schar, you don't have to give him cash. Go give him apples. Excuse me. Give him teven.
You're saying the administrator hired him without the owner's permission?
No, it was with the owner's permission. Oh. No, but he didn't tell the owner, he didn't tell the worker who the owner is. Worker works into a nursing home, he wants a job. Administrator hires him.
The owner knows he has this $80,000 play, right?
That might be, but if the player doesn't know, if the player doesn't know,
that would make a difference, even though the other guy heard him.
That could make a difference if he knows that this guy's ultimately responsible. Who's ultimately responsible?
Was the shliach
right
for the owner?
That's right. But Lamaisa, if he doesn't know who the owner is, he doesn't ask who the owner is. There's several levels going up the administrative level of who the owner is, and there's Lamaisa. There's no. It's a technicality. It's a lima. There's no Baal Tovim. Says the divrei mishpat. Like Rashi, you don't get to pay cash in that case. No Baal Tovim, no Tiki, no Washi. Like the Rashba, what do you got to pay cash? So Geshebo reads. I don't care if there's no Baal Tovim. Baal Tovim is not the issue here. That's not the operating agenda here, Baal Tovim. What's operating here is whether the guy is a poil. The guy's a poil, you got to give him cash. Said Divrei Mishpat, here's enough kamina between Rashi and the Rashba. Like the Rashba, you got to still give him money? And like Rashi, you don't have to. Okay, I'm bringing out the point to get to the following issue. Look in paragraph 8. Paragraph 8 is a phenomenally interesting halacha. I want to tell you, Rabbi Say, learning these halachas, you would think, what's going on here? Who cares? Zok to Rishash. Ha-Saychar es-Apoil, the first line of paragraph 8. Yom-Alei Tul, ain't Shem-Alei, as we just said. Taisa Yosef brings down the Shitas of the Mordechai and the Mekhi Yosef, who hold that Bemir Achilok and Chid Mesorim it's enough, because Soif Kosoif all he wants to is eat. Vashach, Besim and Shin Lamed Bav, Simkot Beis, we just read it, brought down a Suluv Rishonim, Shalai Hiskim was there. No, you gotta give him cash. You can't give him Chid Mesorim. Ulai Dafka Bechitim, says the Rishash. If the owner wants to give Chid Mesorim, the Poyal can say no. To Einan, Ruyen, L'achila. It's not really L'achila. Here we're going here. Rechidim Sairim, Shemelot. Vashachim Shemelot. Sivkot Beis, Nira. Sayeskim Lezev, Ulai Dafka Bechitim. Maybe they only argue. The Einan Ruya L'achila, Kamaya, and Avalim Pas. Oh boy, Uki Yaitse, Gamashach Yoide. See what he says here? Dr. Rishash, let's say the guy doesn't want to pay wheat, doesn't want to pay barley, doesn't want to pay potatoes, doesn't want to pay apples. He wants to pay bread. Is bread going to be okay according to the Shach, according to the Rajba? Well, everybody agree with bread. Why is bread different than apples? One second. Let's just talk about bread first. What's the deal with bread? From Chaim Stein, ever hear of him? Chaim Stein of Shivan tells. He died when he was 99 years old. Okay, he got out of the war, he was in Siberia, whatever. From the time he got out in 46, until he was nipped about 5 years ago, for 60 years, maybe 70 years, I don't know, he washed 3 times a day. Did you ever wash 3 times a day?
During,
I have. Okay.
You wash like your hands?
He made a mighty tea 3 times a day, every meal he washed. Every meal he washed. I haven't washed during the week in years. I don't wash. Eat rice cakes. I don't wash. You don't like rice cakes. Rice cakes taste like cardboard to you. I understand. You're eating donuts. Good. I understand.
Two
of your sandwiches.
Rice cakes.
Okay. Listen.
Why bother eating?
Okay. Right. Listen to me. I'm only bringing out the following point. Why was he washing 3 times a day? Because if you lived, in pre-war Europe. Or anywhere else in the world at that time. If you're lucky, you had a little piece of fish. Maybe really lucky, a little piece of chicken, maybe a little piece of meat, a little piece of vegetable, a little bit of oil, and you ate something with your bread. I mean, we have a whole big shiloh halacha right now. Ever go to a dinner? Okay, recently? The bread basket in the middle of the table, they bring it back. Kamak full. Nobody washes. Why? Because you got plenty to eat. Potatoes, with the meats, with the chickens, with the who knows, all like nowadays also it's dark and if there's no women sitting at the table, I don't even know what bracha to make. I don't know what the food is. I don't know what they're serving. But whatever it is, people are not washing like they once did because we don't eat the way we once did. We don't eat the way we once did. That, those days, everybody washed. They washed. So says the Rishash that listen. If you tell the guy, here's a sack of bread that's equal to the amount of money I want, he wants to say everybody agrees it's okay. Because bread, everybody's satisfied with bread. Everybody's satisfied with bread. Everybody will take bread. Want to give me bread instead of food? Everybody's masking. The bread works. Okay. Fine. I understand. Got a big problem. Apples are no good. What's the difference between apples and bread?
It's not
silly. It's not what?
Silly. Bread is the staple.
It's not mizone. Not soy. You're correct. You cannot be koveya sudo, no matter how many apples you eat, and wash on apples. No such thing.
Apples last longer.
Rashash didn't say
that. What's that?
Rashash didn't say that.
Somebody gives you a truckload of bread.
Rashash is more refrigeration.
I'm saying.
That's right.
Apples last a lot longer.
That's right. But I'm telling you, the Rishash has to be Mechalik. I mean, maybe it's a different Chilik than the Chilik I'm saying, but he has to be Mechalik. Because the Maestro Rishash can't argue in a Tosefta, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It says apples are no good. The answer is, apples are a good thing to snack on. Apples are a good thing to make pie out of. Apples were considered a delicacy for a long time, because you couldn't get them. In different tkufas in European history. For the Maestro, apples are not bread. Man may not live by bread alone, but man does not live on apples. I realize it happens to be Rav Aaron Leib Shlaiman, who's 102 and a half, almost 103 years old. One time, was not paid by Potipat Yeshiva. They fell behind in their payments for 6 months, and after the 6 months, they came to give him the money that they hadn't paid him. He said he doesn't need it. So what's up, Shot? He said, we made it through the last 6 months without borrowing money. What you do? We lived on eggplant. They ate eggplant.
Just above rice cakes.
Just above rice cakes.
Yeah, I like that.
Just below. What does it say? What is it called in the Brit? Chatzilim. Chatzilim. Okay, and his wife joked around that my husband is very, very capable and he knew how to make eggplant different ways. And they ate eggplant one time roasted, one time salted, one time egg-based, whatever. Yeah, but that's not normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. Apples are also not normal. You can't live on apples. Go ahead, you're hungry, you have nothing to do. Some guy makes up a new diet to eat celery for a month. You know what I mean? You lose 30 pounds. Okay, eat apples for a month, you lose 30 pounds. Whatever it is. Okay. So, I'm wondering, if now we have a three-way machlokes of understanding something. A person is a poel. What does that mean? If a person is a Baal HaBos, what does that mean? So I'd like to say something which we've said before, and I want to repeat it again because I believe it really bears and requires repetition. A poel is a person who's a step above an eved. I know it sounds very harsh, but if you go according to the strict letter of the law before they came out, and I'll mention in a minute what they came out with, if you go according to the strict letter of the law, a poel cannot make private phone calls during work time. And
without the permission of the...
That's correct. Back to Rabbi Goldstein again. Without permission, you speak it through first. Otherwise, you can't talk on the phone. Now, there's a younger man here in the Kotel. Not a younger man, he's older than me, but a younger man whose father was a very big Talmid Chacham, very big Talmid Chacham. And he walked into the offices of Rav Henkin Zatzal, which was the offices of, wasn't Chinuch Atzmoy, what was it? Ezra's Torah. He walked in and he saw two of his friends. Talmid Chacham, they started talking. Rav Henkin comes out of his office and says, a poel. What is this? Conversations? Poel. Now, it happens to be nowadays, they told me, that the people who have these, the labor laws, and as their balance says, beginning, they have a whole division just for payments. They also have a whole division probably just for people who are disputing what the office is telling them to do and not do. You have 7 minutes off per hour. You know about that law.
What's that law?
I don't know, it's 7, but
a
certain number.
Yeah, they showed me 7. The employee can take 7 minutes per hour.
Where is this?
Where is this? In the Illinois state labor laws. How do you know about that?
Because I have 4,000 employees. You're talking about non-exempt employees. There's two categories.
Yeah. Exactly. And then a certain amount of time for lunch per day. per day.
Exempt employees don't have any of those rules. I don't have any of those rules.
Then you do what you want, as long as you get the job.
Exempt employees not paid by the hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Exempt employees paid by the job.
That's right. Therefore, yeah, that's right. That's right.
If an exempt employee, you know, goes on vacation and works for an hour, they can't count it as a vacation day. But a non-exempt, you know, as you say, so you got to be clear.
Right, exactly. A lot of laws. A lot of laws. And as I said over the story here once, my friend, Rafu Shlema, he hired a girl out of seminary. I told you this about the pharmaceuticals. They made a mistake and they delivered $90,000 of extra pharmaceuticals. Doesn't, you know, you don't need a big truck to deliver, you know, you can have a couple of bottles.
That depends, it may just be a bag.
That's right. What is the sign that's what's driving you up here? Cash for diabetic strips. On Sacramento this morning, I saw a few signs. In the park, in someone's house, cash for diabetic strips. Okay, anyways, $90,000. This girl's seminary. Okay, he comes out of his office and she tells him they delivered $90,000 extra, and I returned it. So my friend, who can act very rough on the outside and he's a teddy bear, he's a marshmallow on the inside, he says to her, "You owe me $90,000." Toss Akam his mother, who said you should return it without asking me. So immediately she starts crying. She says, "By the way, I want to tell you something else. Who gave you permission to daven mincha for 15 minutes? You want to daven Shemoneh Esrei? 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 6 minutes. What, 15 minutes Shemoneh Esrei in the middle of the week? For mincha?"
Benching also.
Huh?
Benching also.
I said this in a shir a few weeks ago somewhere else. The guy told me about benching. Yeah. As an employee, he benched a half hour.
If she is really davening, she should say, "Please daven for me."
Okay, fine. So Lamaisa, an employee is meshubid to the employer. An employee is meshubid to the employer. He's meshubid. She's meshubid, whatever, meshubid. Meshubid means, this is not a free-for-all. Alpi dinei Torah, could you talk on the phone to your wife? No. Good, you can speak it out, labor laws, whatever. I'm sure that there are many employees who have, many employers who have employees who are on the... their, let's call it, their technological device the entire time they're at work. Texting, messaging, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. Mamela, their cup is not orangutan on what they're supposed to be doing. Okay, whatever. But the maisa, an employee can't stand up for Rabbi Feinstein when he walks into the office. An employee can't even daven shachris lechatchila. An employee has to leave their house by sun. Rise. When are you daven after Taras Chaim? Shalai Bismanoi. You daven earlier. Earlier than that. How much do you bench? You don't say the fourth bracha benching. Zok Yaakov Avinu, he worked for Kol Koichoi. Brought down the Shulchan Aruch La'alocha. You got to give all your koiches. Can you go to a chassid and dance till 3 o'clock in the morning and walk in the next day and only be working at 85%? No way. And I'll give you an example. Does anybody want the, what's the person called? The anesthesiologist to only be working at 85% as he's delivering his,
anesthesia?
And he's
charging at 100%.
And he's charging at 100%?
He's charging at 200%.
Right.
Because the insurance probably takes off
100%. Or the Israeli soldier who has a shiloh about fasting in Yom Kippur when he's on an outpost looking for snipers and he sees somebody say, "Oh, hold on, let me just drink some Mountain Dew over here, get my kirkus back so I can shoot you." It's a big shiloh about whether a lot of fast we're calling Yom Kippur if you're on duty. The guy's a Rebbe. Can he wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning in Lakewood to drive to Brooklyn for a bris to be back by 8:30 to teach his class? The bris in Brooklyn's going to be at 7 o'clock, whatever it is. You're allowed to do that. You got to speak to the Rebbe at that point. I'm talking about you got to show up on time for the class. But you got to be exhausted. Last, many, many years ago, Rachman al-Hassan, Simchas Torah night, the Sefer Torah fell and broke and whatever, Gansa Tumul, and we decided everybody who saw the Sefer Torah Lalocha had to fast. Anybody who didn't see the Sefer Torah fall, because you remember the shul has to fast a half a day, except for people who are employees. So if you're an employee, you're a lot of fast. On the employer's cheshbon, you're not going to be as swift, you're not going to be as quick, you're not going to be as sharp, you can't fast. I said, but people are employees. No. I said, if you saw the Sefer, you had a fast. Right. You didn't see the Sefer.
We didn't see the Sefer.
I know. So most people did not see the Sefer. But I said then, if you're an employee, it's going to affect. Maybe some people say for half a day, it's not going to affect them at all. Okay, that could be. It was pretty short if you did a half a day. But some people said, no, so I made that announcement. If you feel you're going to affect them. But the Meister, If you have to give everything to the employer...
I don't know if you have topic, but if you're an employee, then why are you allowed to fast on Tiny Sister?
Oh, so that's already a big shiloh. I'll tell you where the shiloh is. Very good. Because for the employment... is doich a certain religious obligation. I just told you, chakras and mincha. The big shaila is, if a person wants to fast b'hab, is he allowed to fast b'hab? If a person wants to fast...
Because that's a reshus.
That's right. The four tanaisim, including tiny sester, you get into a shikolot tumul by fasting for a parent yahrzeit. What is that? That a chiyuv, not a chiyuv. You know, where it goes on the scale. I believe most people say for yahrzeit it's okay, but triple level, you know, minor level tanesim, it's not pashy, you're allowed to fast. Not pashy at all. Person decides he wants to fast every Monday and Thursday to do tshuva during Bahad. It's a very nice thing if you're an employer, not if you're an employee. But, now you have an answer to Mr. Goldstein's question beginning in the shiur 48 minutes ago. What happens to the payment of the employer to the employee? By Nezikin, hard to understand, but by Nezikin, kol mili meitavu. If you have cash, you don't got to give cash. By a loiva, if you have cash, you got to give cash. You don't have cash, give him potatoes. Let him sell it. By a poil, now here's the shiloh. A poil, everybody holds is different. You got to give cash. But the reason to give the cash is to eat. So Rashi says, doesn't make any difference. No food, only cash. Rashi says, no chitim asayrim. The Mordechai says chitim asayrim, Rashi says no. Bread. The Rashash wants a mechadish. Bread works according to the Rashi and all the other chitim, so bread is what you want. Rashi says no. But Lamaisa, the employer, cash. Cash. You want to know about chitim, or about soyrim, or about bread? That's a shiloh.
It's not a practical difference, because if you're saying it's okay for bread because he's going to eat bread, you can only so little value you can talk about that the guy's going to want a bread.
That's right. So to get the money, you mean. Okay, in economy. I'm saying, but if it's a one-day employee, now, I'm not talking about a two-week check for, you know, which could be in the thousands of dollars, and the bread would be the size of a truck, in economy. I'm saying, you know, one-day employee, that's what he used to work in the time of the Gemara. You hired a guy for the day, and he did his job, and the night you had to pay him, and he had to be able to get home, and he had to be able to get something to eat. That's what he was living on.
He's not going
to
want 10 loaves of bread and nothing else.
Yeah, in economy. I'm saying there's more to talk. I'm saying, but that's why for sure, the din by poil, the cash, is most severe by a poil. More than by an Ezekin, and more than by a Malvin Aleva. Because here the guy wants his cash. The Malvin gave away his cash. Malvin's not needing cash to eat supper tonight. He lent him money for a month. The Mazik and the Nizik, same thing. It's not an issue of cash. Although, again, it's very aggravating to think. But a poil is cash. A poil is cash. Now, what's the obligation of the poil to the Balabas? As we just said, it's an incredible obligation. It's an incredible obligation.
If you don't hold by Rashi as to the reason, then what is the reason?
So the reason is a svara. That's what I'm saying. And the svara could be as strong as the deraisa. It's a svara by a poil. A poil is different than everybody else. Because a poil is doing whatever he's doing because he has to eat. That's why he's doing it. Now you want to know if nowadays these halachas will change because again, people have money in the bank or the people can borrow money or there's food accessible in their freezer. I hear you. But I'm saying, intrinsically, inherently, a poil is a person who is looking forward to the cash in order to eat, and therefore the balabos has an incredible achrayus to make sure he pays the poil. And that's why these restrictions, without getting into the issue of talking it through. And it gets a little sticky. I'll be honest with you, as I've been honest, you know, try to be open and honest all the time. Before I do it, I just want to say that it's really a very, very serious thing to think about. Very serious thing to think about. Next point I'll make is, I don't know if I'm going to leave this all on the tape or I'm going to turn off some of it. What is a rav? A rav is a poil, unless he owns a shul. We've spoken about this many times. Rabbi Eichenstein on the Vaughan is not a poil. He owns the shul. I don't know what I can't tell you about Rabbi Tursky, whatever. I know who I am. I'm a poil. Okay, so now here's the shiloh. Somebody calls up in the middle of the afternoon. I hate to be sticky, but my time has become, I have less free time than I used to have as the shul grows or whatever else. Somebody calls up and wants to talk to me about something which is really, it's a very serious shiloh. Okay? It takes an hour of my time and it's very aggravating. It takes my kishkas. So am I allowed to talk to them? I know it sounds strange. Am I allowed to talk to them? What is my time?
Someone not from the shul.
Someone not from the shul? Yeah. Someone not from the shul. So what's the issue? What's the issue? So, you know, again, it depends. Building the eruv or being under whatever the molestation resin, you know, not working directly for the show, maybe somebody could go for the show, but that's something that everybody understands that the rov in the city is has certain achrayas. Okay, where does it start? Where does it stop? Everybody knows it. Just because a person lives in the neighborhood, he doesn't get rights for the omen if he's not a member of the shul against a person who's a member of the shul. Well, if a guy calls up and says, can I daven for the omen? He's not a member of the shul. There's no chiyuv. Not me to stay. He can daven for the omen. But if, you know, if a guy who says, I want to get into the rotation, or a guy comes, walks into a shul, he has said this many times, he davens at a different shul in the neighborhood. Who, you know, they don't have a minyan for mincha. So he wants the omen, he has your site. And somebody else who is a member doesn't have yard site, but he's in the middle of the base chayinish. It sounds mean to say to the guy who has yard site that he can't daven for the omen. But the guy who doesn't have yard site doesn't want to miss an omen for his father. Why should he have an omen for his father or somebody else?
Well, because there might be two members who have the site.
If there are two members, then it's both down to Shulchan Aruch and the Talmi. If some of the guys not a member.
I understand that. So, but he shouldn't expect to be able to daven every single day and every single tefillah anyway.
He should be able to. He should expect to daven every single day, every single tefillah. There's no other member who is in the rotation.
Why?
Why? Because that's
why
the
covenant. Membership men.
Huh?
Why should membership men?
Because that's what brought down the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that the ma'aseh, if you pay membership to a kehillah, so you have rights over people who don't.
What was a kehillah in those days? Sure.
It could be a shul, or it could be even somebody coming from another town, the 2 minutes away, where they don't have a minyan. So pay money to this kehillah and you'll get the rights. It's the same thing. Somebody walks in somewhere and wants rights for do something which a member of the shul will now lose as a result of that. He says, yeah, I don't like this. I first heard this as a yeshiva guy, you know, and as a kanoistic yeshiva guy without a lot of maturity. He said, what kind of crazy shul is this? I regretted it. When I was in Oval, I regretted it. Somebody came in who had yard site, wasn't a member of the shul, took away the omen. I didn't want to, I prided myself in trying to dump for the omen as much. It was in the rotation of the shul. You know, other people walked in. You know, the available shul right now. Unfortunately, we have, I don't know how many, 6 or 7 available. Many of them young guys. So they switched. This guy davens 5:55. This guy davens 7:15. This guy davens 6:45. This guy at 8 o'clock. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. It's serious stuff. So why am I telling you this? I don't want to get off track with it. I mean, we can talk about it at a different time. I give a share in Hilchos Tefillah. What's the rub's time? What's the Rav's time? What's the Rav's time? You call the Rav. All right? Okay, you call the Rav of a shul, and you want him to answer your shiloh, but he's on the phone, you're on a call waiting, he's talking to a guy who's not a member. I don't mean that the Rav says that. I'm saying, if you knew that, well, you told the guy who's not a member, tell him to wait. He called first? Too bad. I mean, I'm just saying, I know it sounds very crass. Same, but you know, nowadays it can be a very, you know, we say Rishalo. You want to know the other Rishalo? This happened to me many times. A congregant has a chasra. He wants to go to a chasra. You get invited to a chasra from somebody who's not a congregant. It can be very sticky. It could be that the congregant says, you know, Rabbi, I don't care if you're at the chasra or not, you do whatever you want. Okay. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, the people in shul understood that if my brother's making a wedding, okay, so you know, family still comes first. What about if it's your second cousin? It's not so push. A poil is a commitment, like you said. Got to talk it out.
It's also not that simple. The person calling on the phone is a potential member.
Yeah.
I didn't say rude.
I didn't say anything simple. I told people who've come to talk to me sometime, I said, you know what? It's a little bit of a chesh mishrach. All the time you're asking me for, I don't know if I have a lot to do with it. depends on the matzav. Depends on the matzav.
The easy way for you out of it is to discuss it with the board.
Yeah. Easy way for me out of it, I told the guy to become a member. I told Gishmak sometimes to say that, but I told the guy to become a member. Okay, the bottom line for us is a poil. A poil and a balabos. The balabos has responsibilities to the poil, and the poil has responsibilities to the balabos. Okay, I'm going to stop here next week. Pastor Shem is Baruch. We'll have Shir. Bye.